He who has an ear to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Right? He says that through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Does he say it through a person, John, who's in a congregation in 2014? Is that allowed? I think if you have a Bible and if someone says something that contradicts what the Bible says, you can turn to the person and say, I think you might have that wrong. If someone comes up to you and says, I think God said this about you, and you can say with respect, you know, he hasn't told me that yet. I'll have to put that aside, and I promise to think about it. You know? But these are things that really happen. If we live in a way that communicates the gospel, what would we look like? Because that's what I read is most important about this whole chapter 2, is that the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit came with a sound, and the sound made everybody come out into the streets, but they all heard the mighty works of God. They weren't impressed by the fact that people were laying down in the aisles and that, boy, it looks like something's happening to them. No, it was that they were speaking the mighty works of God, and mocking came, but Peter stood up and he knew his Bible. He knew Joel, he knew the Psalms, and he declared what he wanted to say and supported it with scriptural truth, and people were cut to the heart. And they said, what must we do? And the message is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. That's the good news. That's what has to be told every time that anything happens. If anything happens, that's the goal. The goal is to tell the gospel, not to see the cool tricks that the Spirit of God accomplishes among us. And if we know that, I think we'll be safe. And if we look to that, then when people come with a critical spirit and a religious understanding and a formula for how you must behave, you can say, well, let's test these things. Let's look at Scripture. And so what is this? And so what is your argument, and why do you have that to say, and can you explain in Scripture? And then we'll work it out. But to be dead and sterile in the name of safety is not the church in power of the Holy Spirit and alive and making a difference. So let's never be that church. Let's never be so right and so correct that we just choke the life out of it and can't move. And let's not be swinging from the chandeliers and boasting in whatever our hearts imagine and saying, yes, this is God, this is God, this is God. We'll look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We'll look to the Scripture that explains to us how people lived and examples of how God works. And we'll measure anything that we would see in the life of this church against sanity and the solid witness of Scripture. And we'll move forward with freedom to speak to one another about the things of God and how we might be the church that reaches people, but a good sense of groundedness in what is possible and what is true. Jesus said, right, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. So if we were to live in a way that communicates the good news about Jesus, what would that look like? If we're part of that going, what will that look like? Do you believe that God wants us to succeed? That's a bit of a no-brainer, right? Do you believe God wants us to succeed in telling others about Jesus? I do. I do. So how would he help? Right? Those are good questions. If you believe he could, and you say, how would he help? How does that include each one of us in the room? Because is it for the other guys? How would the Holy Spirit help today? And then I propose that if we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 11, we'd see Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And so can we speak in normal language of people around us in a way that they would understand? And it doesn't have to be in another language, does it? Because we all speak the same language in this town. But everyone lives a different way. Everyone has different life experiences. And all of us in this room touch the lives of other people. And we take a stand for that and make a difference in their lives. So this is the finish. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this. In the first chapter, he said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So if you got a minister who uses lots of words, that doesn't mean that you have to be a person who uses lots of words. You just have to know what you believe and bear witness to it to others. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So when you tell somebody and they think that's a ridiculous thing you just told me, that person isn't getting it. Are you going to make them get it? Who knows? But the same story from the same person who must not be discouraged because that one laughed at you, told to someone else who God is calling, it's received. It's life. It's freedom. So tell five people in a row who laugh at you, but don't fail to tell the sixth person who is the one who really needs to know. All of us get shut down from our first couple of times out of the box, I think. I tried to tell someone about it, but they said I was stupid. I think, I just don't know if I do it right. Maybe I'm not the one to do that. And I get this all the time. Do you know, people come, say, minister, 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 here, talk to my friend. I'll go away now, leave you two alone. And it's like I'm the professional closer, you know? Do you ever do timeshare stuff? I hate the person that gets brought over at the end of the talk and they sit down and go, well, hey, let's just look at the numbers and see what comes together. I hate those people. But if you make your minister the closer, that's not fun for the minister and the person. You know, how, ladies, you ever have your mom pick somebody who you ought to date when you were young and brought that person over here? You guys talk to each other. It's just like, oh, geez, you know? Do you ever, when you're a kid, have parents say, I'd like you to be friends with that child, except you know that kid from school, and you're like, I really don't want to play with that child at all, if it's all right, Mom. So people bring someone to the minister, and they go, here, you do it, right? But you're the one talking to the person about the stuff of God. You're the one that God's nestled in a relationship with someone. They trust you. Then you bring it over to the minister and say, "But yeah, but he's a professional. He's got the words. But you know the person. And that's how God reaches, is with someone who they trust, who they know is not ridiculous, who's got some sense about you, and you believe this thing too. I've seen you live your life, and you believe this? I've seen how your life has changed. What's different about you? But let me tell you, God has given it to you to make the difference in the lives of the people around your life. Not that you got to get them in the church to hear this, but that they have to have salvation, the Spirit of God dwelling in them, so that when they come and they hear this, it makes sense. Are you getting to a sense in your life when you come on Sunday, you're like, that story makes sense? Because God is bringing it more and more to bear in our lives. The vision of the church in Alva at the top of the bulletin is this last verse that we read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. But the book of Acts continues a little bit more in that chapter. It says, awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. And so, Father God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we remember this day when the Holy Spirit was released to dwell in us. Father God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to help us be people who have witness and a testimony that makes a difference to the people who are looking on, that they might have life. We desire to see the church full, and it's not going to be full of visitors who got flyers through mail slots. It's going to be full of friends who have become persuaded of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we share it with them. Will you, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make us to be such healthy sheep that the message of the gospel might reproduce in the others who we share that seed with, the seed of the Word of God that falls in ready soil and that bears fruit. And will you help us to be ready to sanctify Jesus Christ as Lord and be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have and do it with gentleness and respect. And will you give us favor with all the people? And will you add to our number those who are being saved? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.